Does God hate us? That wasn't even a question. That wasn't even a question. They said, of course he hates us. They accused God of hating them. Moshe Rabbeinu continues his rebuke. So we're in Devarim Aleph, the first chapter. And here we're going to talk about the rebuke regarding the scouts, the Meraglim. So we're going to pick it up at verse 25. Vayikchu v'yodom mipri ha'aretz. They brought, they took in their hands some of the fruit, and they brought it. Yeshivu eisanu dover. Vayiridaleinu, pardon me, they came down to us, and they brought us word. What word did they bring us? Vayemru, they said, oh, toiv ha'aretz, this land that God wants to give us, it's really very good. However, Menachem said, it's never going to work. It's never going to work. And even though the Jewish people didn't necessarily fully accept everything the spy said, and they figured there may be some exaggeration here, v'loy avisem la'alos, you were not prepared to go up. V'tamru es pi Hashem eleikechem. You rebelled against the word of Hashem your God. Okay, so verse 26, let's take a look and see what Rashi says about Tamru. What is the meaning of Tamru? So Rashi says, Loshen Hasrosa. It's a seditious or rebellious way of response. In other words, and this is the first time we're hearing about it, Chumash Dvarim. Not only did we refuse to go to Eretz Yisrael, which was pretty bad in and of itself, and kind of a timely lesson, as we are in the days before Tisha B'Av, this happened on Tisha B'Av. Not only did we refuse, but Vatamru, which means, says Rashi, Hisrastem keneged ma'amore. You rebelled against his word. In other words, this was not just on the level of action, this was also in the realm of speech and communication. The Alshech says that Vatamru can also be understood in the context of the word Hamora, which means we switched things around. We rotated the situation. Hashem said, Bayu Urashu, come up, inherit, take the land. And you, the Jewish people, said Moshe Rabbeinu, you said, Lama Hashem mevi esanu, linpeil becherev. Why does God bring us to be slaughtered by sword? In other words, kaviyachol, as if we said, ein piv v'li b'shavim. He says one thing to us, but something very different is going to happen. He says, come inherit the land. But actually, what's going to happen is he's setting us up for a massacre. This is what we said to God. This is a very serious rebuke. And Moshe Rabbeinu emphasizes this point now. He says, not only did you refuse to go to Eretz Yisrael, you spoke against God. As we see in verse 27, Vateirognu ba'aleihem. Vateirognu ba'aleihem means that the Jewish people slandered God. They grumbled in their tents. Vateimru, what they said, shockingly, Besinas Hashem isanu haitziyanu mimitzrayim. He hates us. And in hate, he took us out of Egypt. Shocking, huh? This is what our ancestors said. It's pretty bad stuff. That's why we didn't make it there for 40 years. We didn't just say no. We didn't just say we were frightened. We actually spoke against Hashem. As the Al-Sheikh just emphasized, we said, Hashem took us out in hate. He took us out in hate to give us over to the Emori so that we'll be slaughtered. Pashut. That's what we said. Let's take a look at Rashi now. Rashi 27. Vateirognu. What kind of word is this? What does it mean? So Rashi says this is Lashon Hara. This word is slander. V'chein divrei nirgon. This is a pasuk in Mishlei. And it means Adam hamaitzi diba. A person who is ever slandering. So there's always the possibility to put something in a negative light. You can always speak badly about somebody or something. Depends how you frame it. Depends how you choose to speak about it. Vateragnu means we chose to speak about it in a manner of Lashon Hara. Like publications like the National Enquirer are not interested in news. They're interested in slander and defamation because that sells papers. People want to hear bad things. So we started talking about Hashem in a negative way. And what did we say? We said God hates us. So, first of all, you should know about the words Vateragnu. The Alshich says something very interesting. He says Vateragnu also includes the word kind of abundance and also contention. He says Ravu ba'ahaleim. They began to fight amongst each other. Ze'aymer lahamin. These people say we should believe everything Meraglim said. Ze'aymer shalei lahamin. The other people said we shouldn't believe what the Meraglim said. So we had this whole internal strife, this whole internal conflict. We were fighting and arguing. There was a heated discussion in the aftermath of the Meraglim. And what was our conclusion? Our conclusion was, B'sinas Hashem Yisomu. Rashi says, what was the slander? What did we say? We said that God hates us. V'hu haya oyev eskam. But he really loved you. Aval atim sineisam eisi. It wasn't God who hated you. It was you who hated God. And now Rashi gives us a very interesting, pithy saying. He says, Mishal Hedyat. This is a saying amongst people, a common saying. Oymer, a person says, Madde velibach al rachmech. What I feel in my heart towards my friend, Madde belibay Allah. That's what's really in my heart. In other words, when you have a grudge against your friend, you think your friend has a grudge against you.
Projection.
You hated Hashem. You were angry at Hashem. Because you hated and angry at Hashem, you projected as if God is angry and hates you. But actually, it was exactly the opposite. In hate, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Rashi says, Hoitza asai. The Exodus was in hate, in disgust. What does that mean? Mashal lemelech basar v'dam. The metaphor here would be of a king of flesh and blood. Shayla ishnei vanim. He has two children. V'yeshle stay sadis. And he has two homesteads, two estates. Achas. One is a land that has to be constantly irrigated, and there's an irrigation system that allows you to irrigate and moisten the land so that it's effective and it is able to give crops. And one of them is a field or an estate that always requires rainfall. No sprinkler system. So lemi hu neisen. Shoshaki. Who does he give the field that has an irrigation system already built in? Ulami, and who would he give the field that's Shobal? So Rashi says, Lemishu Ayev, to the son that he loved, nice and Shoshaki. He gave the field that was finely irrigated. Ulamishu Saina, and to the one who he despised, nice and Le Shobal, he gave the field which requires rainfall. So this is what the Jewish people said. Eretz Mitzrayim, the land of Egypt, Shalshakyahi. It's a land that has a fine and intricate system of irrigation. Nilus, Shenilus Ayla, the Nile River, overflows. Umashka Isa, it ultimately waters the entire region. It's the fertile crescent, the fertile region. Mitzrayim was always fertile and always successful, and there was droughts in the Middle East, the one place of the world where people had abundant grain and abundant food, and the economy was booming, was in Mitzrayim. That's where Egypt was a superpower once upon a time. It's a perfect country. And Eretz Yisrael is a place that never has enough water. Eretz Canaan, they said, Shalbal, that's a place that needs, there are no big rivers. There's no Nile River going through the land of Israel. You have a little Jordan River, not very effective. And then the water anyway ends up in a sea of salt. There's not an abundance of water. And therefore, Haitziyanu Mitzrayim Losis Lano said it's Canaan. He took us out of Egypt, which is well irrigated, and he brought us into Canaan, which has no irrigation. So they came to the conclusion, it must be God hates us. Must be.
And because about their forefathers and foremothers?
Huh?
They forget about Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? And
I said, maybe God loved Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov, but doesn't love us.
The same one.
That's what they said. Now, the Sefarnu gives an interesting explanation. He says, why would they think that? Because they used to worship idols in Mitzrayim. They were big idolaters. And they were very much a part of the Egyptian idolatrous culture. So much so that in order to leave Mitzrayim, Hashem said there has to be a Korban Pesach. Well, what did the Korban Pesach require? The slaughtering of Elul Mitzrayim, of the idol of Egypt. Only when they could renounce the idolatry would Hashem even accept them. So you say Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, the patriarchs and matriarchs, they renounced the idea of idolatry. Yitzchak and Rivka were positively sick from their daughters-in-law's idolatry. But they embraced idolatry, and they loved idolatry. So they figured God probably hates us for that. He's got a grudge. He's got a score to settle with us. Because he's got a score to settle with us, he took us out of Egypt in hate, and he brought us to Canaan. He's bringing us to Canaan. Now this is pretty shocking, and most people are very surprised to read of these psukim.
You can turn on the internet and see the same thing today. It's not so surprising.
Yes, you can turn on the internet and see the same thing today, but not from Torah sources.
Well, people who claim to be Torah sources, lots of times.
Here's the thing. If you'll remember, we started off our learning of Chumash Devarim with the idea that this is serious rebuke. So there are things that are mentioned in Parshas Devarim and in the Chumash, which are not mentioned anywhere else. And the only time we have clarity as what really happened with the Meraglim is when we get to Chumash Devarim. Because Moshe Rabbeinu kind of kept a tight-lipped response. He dealt with what he had to deal with, but he never really rebuked the people. This is the first time we're hearing about this. He's recalling all their failings, all their spiritual misfortune, all their rebelliousness. Everything is now being brought to the fore. So what's the obvious question?
What is the obvious question?
We said that God hates us, right? He gave us the inferior field. He gave us the lousy estate because he hates us. So what's the obvious question?
Why would they think such a thing? I mean, they saw Yitzhak Mitzrayim.
He told you why they think such a thing. Because Egypt is well irrigated. Took us out of the well irrigated land. He's bringing us into the lousy country.
They were slaves in Egypt. So it was well irrigated. Big deal.
Why don't you just get rid of the Egyptians and we'll stay in Egypt. The Jews ever wanted to stay in Egypt. Jews have been in denial ever since when?
Still in denial.
They wanted to stay with denialists. Denial is great. It irrigates, it nourishes, it hydrates. It's great. I should go to Israel to face the truth.
It's bizarre. All these miracles when Hashem can't provide water.
He made all these miracles. Why did he hate us? He took us out of Egypt in hatred. Don't take us out. How can he take you out in hatred? How could there be an exodus in hatred? It makes no sense. So let's take a look in the beauty of Chumash. And on page Lamed Beis, the Rebbe kind of addresses this issue in a roundabout way, but ultimately he addresses this issue very, very profoundly. So it quotes the whole Rashi over here, right? And essentially Rashi says, you can break Rashi into two parts. Segment A, statement. God hates us. He took us out of Mitzrayim. This was an exodus of hate. He couldn't stand us. He was revolted by us. He did what he had to do. But this was... And then, the second segment of Rashi is this mashal. It paints this picture. Picture of a king. The king has two sons, two children. And one child, he gives one estate. One child gives the other estate. That's a mice with an estate. So the Rebbe says, what's up with the story? Why the story? Why the parable? Why the metaphor? Yesh levayedas asibu lekach. We really need to understand that Rashi isn't satisfied. Pardon me. Let's go back to the entry before. turn the page back to page Lamed Aleph. I'm sorry. This is the second point that afterwards being addressed. Page Lamed Aleph, which is Simon Yutes. Yesh letmoya. This is really quite astonishing. Harei mefurish bekasuf. It says openly in the pasuk. Scripture itself says, "Shetanasam shobnei Yisrael." That the complaint, the kvetching, that the Jewish people lodged against Hashem, hoisachamura harbe yeser, was much worse. They didn't just say, "God took us to the lousy place." They said worse. They said, God hates us, b'sinas Hashem eisanu meretz Mitzrayim, because he hates us, he took us out of Egypt. How do we know he hates us? Because where is he taking us? To the slaughter. He's leading us to the slaughter.
Not taking us to Miami Beach.
He's not taking us to Miami. He's taking us to Auschwitz. Losses his son will be ad ha'emayri, to bring us into the hands of the Emayri. And what's going to happen over there? Lahashmidenu. We said this. He's bringing us to genocide. He's taking us into a situation where we are going to be massacred. So what's worse? God took us out of Egypt and he gave us a lousy piece of land? He gave us the garden you have to work harder at? Or God took us out of Egypt to be massacred? What's worse? What's worse? For sure it's worse. So Rashi is supposed to amplify, elucidate, clarify the verse. He's supposed to tell us what the verse doesn't say. The verse says that the Jewish people said Hashem hates us, and the proof is he's taking us to the slaughter. That's the proof. And Rashi says, well, he hates us because we could have been in a nice land, and instead we came to not a nice land. We could have come to Canada, and instead we went to Canaan. Lots of water here. Madua Eifa Mefarash Rashi, why does Rashi say that the question here is about Tiva shall Eretz Yisrael b'yachas l'Eretz Mitzrayim v'sulo. The issue or the question here is, what's the nature of Canaan? What's the nature of Mitzrayim? Understand the question? Rashi doesn't even not only doesn't explain this. Rashi actually seems to be mitigating with the words of the Jewish people. He doesn't say how Hashem hated us. He actually takes down a few notches. So, well, we said that, you know, the land of Mitzrayim is not so good. That's not what we said. We said he's trying to kill us. So the Rebbe explains it in the following fashion. The reason that Rashi has to say something which seemingly the pasuk doesn't say, and he has to give us this whole story. So it comes. The question comes from the words of Rashi itself. Miloshen akasa, from the words of the scripture. Vateirognu ba'ahaleichem, they had this grumbling and slandering in our tents. Mashmat seems. This was a quiet rebellion. Quietly. We grumbled in the tents. This was whispered. This is the original Facebook. Word of mouth. But not in a public way, a big forum. Quietly. It was in the tents. It was not in the streets. This was not a mass demonstration. We didn't come to the Tahrir Square and yell and scream. Quietly, still a hate. People were complaining, fetching in the tent. But we go back to Parsha Shlach, the original story, the source of these verses. Misuper shahisazu, hismar dos geluya. This was open rebellion. In fact, Kalev and Yeshua thought they were going to be stoned. They were going to be lynched. This was Kol Bnei Yisrael, a massive mob swirling out in the streets, yelling and screaming. Heviu es tlunaseim b'frahesya. They came with their complaints openly in front of Moshe and Aaron. So therefore Rashi explains, Sheshnei haksuvim oiskim b'shtei tlunes shaynis. There was two things going on at the same time. There was one thing that was said openly and one thing that was said quietly. B'goli, overtly, in the streets, Hitstarfu kol bnei Yisrael l'tanosim shal meraglim. All of the Jewish people followed the meraglim. They got into the swing of meraglim. Shekol nisoyin lichbesh es eretz Canaan nidil lechishlein. Any kind of attempt to conquer Canaan would result in disaster. There would be catastrophic consequences for even trying to enter. Umikan Shekol Matara, from here they come to the conclusion that the whole purpose of the Yetziyah in Mitzrayim is to get rid of us. He took us out of Mitzrayim to have us killed, to have us annihilated. Lost his son of Biyada Amiri, to put us in the hand of the Amiri, Lahash Midenu. He wants genocide, he wants to wipe us out. That's why he brought us here. So this was in the street. But you know, not always the word in the street is accepted. Not everybody doesn't always believe what's going on in the street. Beinam lebein atzma, between themselves, not when there was popular furor being whipped up in the street, but bechad echadorim, you know, kind of behind closed doors, we say, hoydu b'nei yisrael b'chol tesh l'kadosh baruch hu. That's actually a ridiculous complaint. God can't do it. What, he could feed people in the desert? He could give us manna? He could give us the water? He could defend us from our enemies? Now all of a sudden, oh, the Kananim? Forget it. He can't do this? Really? V'yadu, they knew shebekeiche lichbesh asaras. They knew that he was able to conquer the land. They knew he could bring the B'nai Yisrael. So what were they saying then? Ta'anosa ma'isa acheres. They said something else. They said, Omnam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yikayim Avtechasei. Of course he'll fulfill his promise. Yachnis is B'nai Yisrael Lord. Of course he'll bring us into the land of Israel. Aval uvdu zu atzmer nevah misinis klapeim. That itself is because he hates us. In the street they screamed, we're going to be massacred! We're going to be massacred! Everybody screamed, massacre, massacre. Quietly, he said amongst themselves, what, massacre? Come on. Really? You think God can't fight the Amori? So they said, listen, yeah, he could fight the Amori, but he hates us. What's the proof he hates us? Well, look where he's bringing us. If he loved us, why wouldn't he leave us in Mitzrayim? If he really loved us, he would leave us in Egypt. Egypt is a beautiful land, flowering land, a verdant green, wonderful place. And he took us out of there to bring us into there? It must be that he hates us. Now in the second siman, second chapter here, on a different occasion, the Rebbe explains now, we're going to go, why we need this mashal altogether. So question number one is, it's not what the Jewish people said. They said he was going to slaughter us. They said we're going to get massacred. The Rebbe suggests a big chiddush, a big novel approach, that there was one thing in the street and something else quietly. So, which answers the big question. Really? They didn't believe that God could take them into the land of Canaan? You saw all these miracles? He didn't believe it? You really thought that he's incapable? Does it make sense? So, that's populism. And there's what's out there. And what's out there is extremism and people acting foolishly. There's still a hate. Quietly, people know the truth. But they still created this twisted logic in order to justify themselves. Why the metaphor? The metaphor itself doesn't make any sense. Not only the public complaint, which is, it's not so hard to understand because that's the nature of public demonstrations. But the public complaint is easier to understand, perhaps, even, than the private complaint. Let's say the land of Canaan is not as good as Eretz Mitzrayim. Let's say, for argument's sake, it's far better. But let's say, for argument's sake, it isn't. If you'd hate us, why would he give them a land? He hates us. He gives us the worst land. He's giving you a land? Why did he take you out of Mitzrayim if he hates you? That's an oxymoron. He hates us. He took us out in hate. If he hates you, leave you in Mitzrayim. Doesn't make sense. What? He took us out in hate? How could you take us out in hate? Don't take us out.
Not to mention the gracious size of that.
Okay, so they had a whole explanation that grapes the size of basketballs or far bigger was a proof that God hated them, and then the pub in the streets they were saying we're going to be slaughtered. Look at these giants and monsters and scary people living there. Fine. But how is it possible to suggest, and behind closed doors we're saying, this is like, but they're being honest with each other. See, of course God could, but he hates us. What's the proof he hates us? The proof he hates us, he's giving us the lousy piece of land. I don't know. I wouldn't give my enemies anything. Why would he take them out of Mitzrayim if he hated them? So the Rebbe says that's why we need the metaphor. Because this actually doesn't make sense. There's a missing link here. Something doesn't add up. What's the metaphor? The metaphor is a melech basar v'dam, a king of flesh and blood, a mortal king. Hoyulei shnei vanim. He's got two children. The Eshlei Stei Sadas. And he has two estates. He has to give one estate to one estate to the other. Because the children are both children of the king, So Bakarchai Olav Lases Misadis Lashneim. He's got to give them both. He's got to give them both. But the favorite child, the child they really love, oh, who knows Nesasada Hateva? He gave them the good field, the Shakya, the one that was well integrated. The Ben Hasnua, to the hated child, he gave the Sada Habchusa. I hear this all the time from people. Families are fighting. What do they fight over? They fight over money. They fight over estates. What's always the issue? Mom and dad loved you. They hated me. They gave you 51% of the business. They only gave me 49%. Maybe they gave me 51% because I know how to run a business and you're a total yokel. And if they gave you 51%, there wouldn't be a business in 5 years. And they want to make sure mom and dad hated. They always loved you. You were always the favorite. In other words, how did the Jewish people explain the fact that we came out of Mitzrayim? Who said a little bit of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov? Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. Gotta do something. It is a child.
Promised.
Is it? You promised. Sure, he promised. Show it like a child. So what did he give us? Mom and dad, you know? They love you. You're the favorite child. They gave you the cottage and the boat. What do I get? I get the warehouse. That's what I get.
What's the lineage of Mitzrayim? What's the logic there?
They didn't have to justify it fully. They didn't have to explain how Mitzrayim is a child. All they had to explain is, of course you have to give us. It's a mushel. It's not an exact. It's a metaphor. And the metaphor doesn't have to be that somebody else is a child. The point is, the child who gets an inheritance, who says, my parents hate me because they gave me the worst portion. Who had in the Yenedo. B'nei Yisrael yadu shem banu shamakam. I couldn't deny that. They knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hivtiach L'Avisayim. This answers your question. He knew that Hashem promised, Lashes Lemes Eretz Mishlem. He knew God said, I'm going to create a great nation. I'm going to give this nation a piece of land. They're going to have their own country. We knew this is going to be the case. Achim Tonu, you see? HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mishyachas Lenu Kemelech Ubnei Asonu. Sure, he has to do something for Am Yisrael. He promised the ancestors. He promised the patriarchs and matriarchs. But doesn't really love us. Like the Sephardim said, he hates us because we worship idols. He has to give us a land. He has no choice. You have to be part of the will. You're a child. So what does he do? He gives us the worst piece. He's giving us a land. What land does he give us? We were sitting right there in Beverly Hills. We had everything. We were in Mitzrayim. Life was great. And he had to schlep us out of there. And he brought us to Canaan. He brought us to a place where we'd have no irrigation. A place that suffers from droughts. A place that needs rainfall and never has enough water. Come on. He found the worst piece of land. He said, that's what I'm going to give them. Understand? Wow. So this was the great sin of the Jewish people. And here we find out really for the first time, our sin was our attitude. We went around saying God hates us. And because of this, Hashem was so disappointed with us. And because of this, we remained in the desert. And what should we be doing? We have to fix the mistakes that they made. It's interesting. Rebbe doesn't say this, but I'll finish off with this. Food for thought. The Jewish people who left Mitzrayim said that God hates us. That's what they said. God hates us. And that was the first Tisha B'Av. The first Tisha B'Av was about God hates us. And the Tisha B'Av, the last Tisha B'Av that we suffered, the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, actually it's not the last. There were many other Tisha B'Avs after. From the destruction of Beitar to the Inquisition and the beginning of World War I, which led to World War II. But it was about Hashem hating us in the beginning. And in the end, what does the Gemara tell us? It was about us hating each other. Sin is chinam. Right? And now we in Hayom Yom, the Rebbe tells us that they asked Alter Rebbe, what's greater? The love of Hashem or the love of Yisrael? What did Alter Rebbe respond? The love of Yisrael. Because Ohov Masha, Ohov Eiv. If you love Hashem, you have to love what He loves. Who does Hashem love? Every single Yid. So we have to know that Hashem doesn't hate us. Hashem loves us, not just us. Hashem loves every single Yid. Because Hashem loves every Yid, if Hashem loves him, then we should love him. And the answer to all this narishkeit of hate, of all this negative energy, the answer has to be positive energy. And when we know that Hashem loves us, and because He loves us, we must love all of Am Yisrael, and love each other, hopefully we'll be zeicha this year, the Tisha B'Av will be a Yom Tov. Because Mashiach will arrive, then Heda will be Amenu Amen.
So why did he give?